This entire hour, we have been talking about the mass stabbing that happened in Boise Saturday evening, speaking with our city leaders, our chief of police, our International Rescue Committee, as well as the senator from that district. Right now, we want to talk about the after effects of what happens when we see a tragedy like this, the grief, the bereavement, the trauma. We have brought in a grief counselor, Jenny Emerzy, with St. Luke's, to get us talking about what we do with this. And Jenny, thank you for coming in. I appreciate that. Thank you for having me. When something like this happens and it affects a community at large, I think we're all in a bit of shock.
Yeah.
How do we deal with these emotions? I know that's a big question.
It's a big question, yeah. Like, do we have another hour?
Yeah, exactly. we might need to.
I mean, it's a new experience for me, too, living in beautiful Boise. This is something I think we've had tragedies in the past and things that we've faced, but this is one on a level that I think we're all kind of wondering, what do we do? I'm a parent, too, and mm-hmm. so I have those questions of, you know, how do I talk to my kiddos about this? I think you're seeing really beautiful things happen. I can't remember if it was Chief Bones that maybe said this, you know, just how this is a terrible thing that's happened, but the way the community's banding together and, you know, putting the vigil together and donating and asking how they can help. I watched video of families, you know, kiddos in their swimsuits running across the street on this mm-hmm. little news video, putting flowers down. And so I think those are some of the really beautiful ways that we reach out when we don't know what else to do, when we feel this loss of control. But there's also just the emotion that goes along with it when you're just sitting in your living room and hearing stories over and over. I think that recognizing that we need a little downtime to take care of ourselves, you know, some isolation isn't mm-hmm. a bad thing, to just sit and really process, how do I feel about this and what can I do that's meaningful to me? It's different for everybody. Recognizing that not all emotions are bad. We think of uncomfortable emotions like anger or sadness, which tend to be the first things that rise up. Even in me, you know, it's an uncomfortable emotion for me to feel angry, but that was a knee-jerk reaction. How could this happen in our community, mm-hmm. which is grief all on its own? You know, that's a grief reaction to say it's a loss that we thought, this perceived sense that our community is safe, and here we've had something terrible that just shouldn't have happened here, and it did. So I think taking those emotions and just stopping and recognizing I'm having those and I don't have to push them down, mm-hmm. but to be mindful of how I'm going to then spring into action and use them for good instead of, you know, ranting on social media or, you know, that's again, just a knee-jerk reaction yeah. to feel mad and want to do something that maybe wouldn't be consistent with your values.
And we're talking about our children. So you're a parent. I'm a parent. I was very thankful when this happened that it's summer break. And the reason being is that, you know, my children didn't go to school and have all these kids talking about it. Mm-hmm. With that being said, we haven't really known how to talk about it. And I think a lot of parents are in that boat right now.
Yeah.
With something like this, how do you talk to your kids? And should we, depending upon their age?
Yeah. I mean, I think we all know our kids best and our family systems are all set up differently. Mm-hmm. But our kids can handle a lot more than I think we give them credit for. And we're living in a world where things like this are happening. And when they go back to school, they're going to hear about it, or they're going to hear about other, you know, hard stories and tough stories. And so sometimes it's just recognizing where your kiddo is at developmentally. You know, somebody who's maybe 3 or 4, which a lot of the kiddos that were impacted by mm-hmm. this were this really young age, you know, you might ask them what their understanding is, if they have questions. I always feel like it's smart to, even a teenager, it's always smart to put it back on the kid. You know, what do you know about this and what questions do you have? Or, hey, I'm going to go to this rally and there's going to be some of our leaders there for our community. Do you have questions you want me to ask them? Sometimes putting it on a third party, they might not ask their parents, but they'll say, oh, will you ask them this and this? And it can be really insightful to where they're at. And then just answering in small sound bites. And I feel like going back to them too and saying, does that does that make sense to you? You know, clarifying again, can they restate back what they understand?
Because they won't, because my concern always is like, well, I scare them.
Yeah.
And like you said, they can handle more than we may think.
Yeah. And it's a natural reaction for us as parents to want to protect them. We don't want them to know that the world is scary. We don't want to, it hurts us to see them hurting and scared. And so mm-hmm. how do we wrap them up in this bubble and protect them for as long as we can? That's kind of our job as a parent. And I always kind of go back to really tough conversations help them grow. And they help us grow as parents, too, because they're hard and uncomfortable for us. And our kiddos tend to surprise us. And we learn a lot about them that we might not ever know otherwise. But that's how kids process. And that's how they learn about the world. And then we've armed them with information for when they're 20 or 30.
Mm-hmm. I'm speaking with Jenny Emmerzy. She is a counselor at St. Luke's dealing with grief. And Jenny, when we do speak about grief, there will be a grieving process. I mean, right now it's so fresh that, as you said, a lot of people may be feeling angry or, well, what can I do? Mm-hmm. But it's, do you think there will be a grieving process, not just for the people that experienced what happened or the people that witnessed it, but as a community?
Mm-hmm.
And how do we move, you know, through that?
I mean, I think the gentlemen who were on today, they all had great ideas already. Mm-hmm. I heard a lot. You know, I'd sit out there and I, you know, kind of thought to myself, well, that's grief that they're talking about, and kind of ticked some things away. But as a community, I think it's watching for the vigil tonight. That's a really, you know, powerful way in the moment and as kind of an immediate reaction. But to even just stop and think, you know, 3 weeks down the road, a month down the road, how am I feeling about this? It may not be in the news as much, but you might still have that, you know, kiddo in Salt Lake on your heart, or mm-hmm. how...
you may drive by it.
Right. Yeah. People who drive down State Street, and that's that constant reminder. And so to recognize that that's going to be there, and reaching out to people that you trust, that you care about, reaching out to like the IRC. The gentleman was here from the IRC. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else I can do? How are those families doing? And just recognizing it's an ongoing process. It's not something that is going to be over after the vigil tonight.
And should people be, you know, surprised or shocked if they are feeling these emotions, you know, a couple of weeks, a month down the road? Because I think a lot of times we think, well, I wasn't affected by this. I mean, it mm-hmm. happened here, but I wasn't there. I don't know anyone there. But can there be, you know, residual effects of trauma?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that people are going to notice that whether they're conscious of it or not, because we kind of get wrapped up in this. Our bodies do this amazing thing. I call it a grief blanket, where your mind just kind of goes into that numbness and shock phase. And, you know, I think that's how that sweet 12-year-old was able to tell his story, mm-hmm. which was an important part of his processing, too. But there's that numbness and shock that makes us able to function and to get through. And then a few weeks later, that starts to kind of lift. And if you're not aware of it and paying attention that that may be coming, you're not going to notice that that's a grief reaction that you're still having.
I want to thank you, Jenny, for coming in today. Jenny Emery is a counselor, a grief and bereavement counselor at St. Luke's. We will have you on another day to talk more about grief and bereavement. I appreciate your time today.
Thank you so much.